stand as we worship this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Last week, I got the opportunity to not be on worship, and I got to listen to someone else lead. And before that, I just took some time to to calm my heart and to calm my mind. We often come into church maybe frazzled. We want our coffee. We want to say hi. And I invite you now to just take some time to just quiet your heart, to remember why you're here, to worship our Savior, to worship the wonderful person that he is, to give him all the glory, to lay down all at his feet and say, you are greater. So I invite you to just extend your hands, close your eyes, just take some breaths. Why are you here? To praise your Father. Calm your heart, calm your mind. Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm from the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of grief, when fears are still, when
Oh, my love. Good morning. Stay standing, please. We worship God with an offering today that's going to be going for New Life Ministries to support the work that we do and that God does through us here in Abbotsford and around the world. We're so grateful for the opportunities God's given us to be his hands and feet, to touch the lives of those we're in contact with. And your participation through giving and through volunteering here at New Life Church allows us to be a part of that mission, to join him and to fulfill that mission. So we're going to take an offering. There's collection boxes here and there, and you can give online as well. There's going to be on the screen behind me instruction on how to do that. But let's take a minute and pray for this offering. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the Sabbath, for a day for us to meet here together. Thank you for your love for each one of us here, for each person. You know us, you see us, and you're here with us today, and we thank you for that. Lord, we pray that you will bless this offering, multiply this offering. Lord, we are striving to do your will here on earth. We are a bunch of flawed people trying to do your good work. And Lord, we pray that you will multiply this and that you will use it for your good, for your glory. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Who has held the ocean in his hand? Who has numbered heaven, grains of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation arises to rejoice. Behold. Seated on his throne, come let us
Good morning, New Life. My name is Jake Kostelik, and I am your host this morning. I thought I was going to be able to say you would be seated. I was really looking forward to that. But next time, I'm going to get you to stand up and then sit back down, because they said I was going to be able to try that this week. So brace yourselves. Special welcome to any guests here today. We love seeing new faces. With the lights in my eyes, I can't see any faces right now, but I'm hopeful that there are some new people here, and we love seeing you here. So if you're here in person, welcome. If you're here online, also welcome. We're really glad you've come to a special place. Our goal is to not just have visitors, but to have meaningful connections and to have relationship with people that show up once. We want you to stick around. So in front of you, if you're here in person, there's a card in front of you that we'd like you to fill out. It's a connection card. So if you can fill that out and drop it in a box, I think. Yes, info booth or the collection boxes. That would be great. Someone from New Life will reach out just to check in. And if you're online, there's a host online that will send a link in the comments, which you can fill out and submit. So just a couple announcements today. First of all, we're going back to school. We're getting into the rhythm of things. We're going to celebrate the end of a great summer and a kickoff of a new ministry year by having a New Life. Well, it's not a New Life block party. It is a legitimate block party with the churches from here to Zion, just a couple hundred meters down the road. So it's going to be Saturday the 18th. So Sunday. That would be the day we meet here, is on Sunday, actually. After church from noon till 2:30, it's New Life, and then New Life Korean, who meets here, Cascade, who's next door, and then Zion, who's just a couple hundred meters down the road. So we're all getting together. We're going to have a big, fun party. There's going to be food. There's going to be games. There's going to be bouncy castles. I've looked into it and asked, and apparently the bouncy castles are just for kids. So they're pretty strict on that. So if you're going to come for the bouncy castles, I hope you're a child, because there's regulations surrounding that stuff, apparently. The events will be spread out around the three churches, so it will be a real block party. We have invites and maps in the foyer, and you can hand them out in your neighborhood if you'd like. So if you're going back to school and you have angsty kids after school, they have pent-up energy, take them on a walk, take these things, and drop them in the mailboxes of your neighborhood. Kids dismissal. Every Sunday we have fellowship time, and that's going to start in a second when I'm done talking. You can meet someone new. That's one of the goals, just to meet someone new. See a face you don't recognize. Say hi. Introduce yourself. Parents, you can bring your 3 to 5-year-old children to Little Lights through the door on my left over there. And children in grades 1 to 5, today you're going to be staying in the auditorium. And once the school year kicks off, there's going to be kids' church downstairs. But kids grade 1 to 5, there are activity packets here. If you could save one for me, that would be great, but take the rest. When you're done, if you could return them after the service so we don't have to hunt them down, put all the stuff that you got out of them back in and return them, would be great. So welcome, good morning. Let's get up, stretch, and meet each other. And drop our kids off at nursery. Have a great Sunday.
Tore through the shadows of my soul. work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
If you would take a seat, please. Wow. Wonderful time of getting reacquainted with everyone as we return from vacations and days away. Hope you had a great summer, and well, we've had a great summer here as well, and we've been preparing for this fall season. It's kind of exciting because it's, in some sense, a lot like starting over, and yet we've been carrying on as well. We've been through a series of messages here at New Life in the month of August called Holy Ground. We've been taking a look at worship. Worship's, the focus of worship has been a theme throughout the year. And we're trying to extend that, the sense of worship. Sometimes we have the sense that worship is just, the songs we sing at the beginning of a service and here on Sunday at church. And we refer to it sometimes that way, right? The songs is the worship time, and then there's the rest, I guess. But we've been expanding our sense of worship. So we talked about how nature even worships God. We talked about how the angels worship God. We talked about how play is worship, and how our relationships at home foster worship. And today, being Labor Day weekend, you can guess what we're going to be talking about. Work and worship. So how does our work worship God? I want us to focus on a passage in Colossians, Paul's letter to the Colossian church in chapter 3. This is what he says. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, fully, in every aspect of life. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, at first glance, I suppose that seems rather obvious to talk about work and worship, to say, hey, our work is a worship to God as well. That seems obvious enough. If everything is worship, then obviously work is worship as well. But do we worship when we work? Some 50 years ago, Gordon Dahl wrote this. He said, worship is the full commitment of one's life to God. But we have made our work the primary dimension of our lives. So it's little wonder that we experience worship as little more than just an occasional pious exercise. An occasional pious, that's the narrowest view of worship a person could have. And then he goes on to describe that and the problem that develops. And he says this. He says, what ends up happening is that we worship our work. We work at our play. And we play at our worship. Well, that's more than just a clever statement. It's a serious indictment. It's a serious offense if we worship our work, work at our play, and play at our worship. How has that happened, that we worship work instead of worshiping at work? Well, one reason is that church has tended to divorce the two. Now, the beginning of the service, before the service started, Janessa and I, we had a little spat. She said, hey, I'm going to start the service, and I want to tell people to just quiet their hearts and just leave all of their worries behind and just come into worship. I said, oh, actually, that's the opposite of what I'm going to say in my sermon. Now, both of us end up actually being right, exactly to the point that we end up often worshiping our work. And so when we come to this place, in some sense, we've got to leave it behind and go, no, I'm focused on worshiping God, not my work. At the same time, what we often end up communicating here at church is that work is completely separate from this place. And we never allow work to come into this place. Over the summer, we also did a series called The Master's Hand. And that series was intended to bring our work into this place, to show how what we do reflects what God does in this world. That while we're busy at work here in our lives in this world, God also is busy at work. And oftentimes in many of the same ways that we work. So nevertheless, sometimes we end up communicating that what goes on within this room is completely separate from all of the concerns and complications of your life as you go out and do your work at job sites or wherever. So we don't want to lose our focus on God in worship. At the same time, we also want to be able to bring in all of the junk of our lives, all of the complications, all of the confusion, all of the worry, all of the nervousness. We want to bring that into this place. In order for work to be worship. Another reason, though, that we often don't think our work is worship is that it's just easier to separate the two. And so that what we end up doing is bringing all of the frustrations of our work to the bar because Well, misery loves company. Or to bring the headaches of work home and soothe them in front of a mindless Netflix series. Paul admonishes us to let the message of Christ dwell in us richly. That means that when we come into this place, we can fill our hearts with the good news of the gospel and bring that back into our workplace. In spite of the worries, in spite of the headaches, in spite of the frustrations. Because that's exactly why the good news came into this world. That's why God comes into this world to redeem all of that, the mess of our lives. So when Jesus lives in you, when he lives in your heart, you can worship at work. That's part of the richness of the message of Christ in our lives. It says if work is that imitation of God's work, God's activity in the world. You, at work, as a Jesus follower, are engaged with God's mission. Your devotion is to God's work in the world. Your obedience is to God's will at work. Your trust is in God's control at work. That's your worship at work. Now, to foster that kind of worship means nurturing the fruit of the Spirit in us. Worship, Paul says, worship in whatever you do. Here's what he says. In whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Just before that, in verse 12 to 15, he says this. Therefore, if you're going to do that, given that the message of Christ dwells in you richly, in every aspect of your life, in all of your work. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. See, we assume that our work ethic is good because we work hard. And that may be true. And then we qualify it with, yeah, but if only the workplace was better. Or if only the boss was nicer. Or if only our coworkers would do their job. But worship isn't a matter of whether our circumstances are perfectly arranged. Worship is a matter of the heart, of our own heart. It's about our own integrity issues, our own character issues. And so Paul says, clothe yourselves. Put on this stuff, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, the fruit of the Spirit. Put that on when you go to work. Worship at work stems and is demonstrated by what you do. Compassion, kindness, humility. It stems from who you are. Who are you? Paul says, you're God's chosen people. When you're at work, you're holy. When you're at work, you're dearly loved. That's who you are at work, not just in this place, but out there at work. That's why we bring our work to church, why it's so important to place our working lives in front of the communion of saints. Sean Young, our new pastor of small groups, is going to be starting up small groups, and you need to be thinking about, if you're already in a small group, to get back into that routine of meeting together and so on. And part of the reason why small groups are so important is because that's a place where you can bring your work and you can receive the encouragement from one another, the blessing from one another, the accountability from one another to say, yeah, but you can press through. You can carry on. Here, steer it this way. Remember who you are. You can remind each other who we are in the context of a small group. In their book, Work and Worship, two authors, Matt Kamink and Corey Wilson, they describe a way to nurture worship at work. They tell the story of Delilah and Daniel. Delilah is a mother of two kids, and Daniel's the dad, husband, and Delilah works at a hospital. She's a charge nurse. Daniel is in construction. Delilah works three 12-hour shifts, and in the midst of everything else that's going on, she finds herself in a pretty hectic life and lots of things to juggle. So they say this about Delilah. This is how Delilah addresses it. To help foster spiritual vitality in the midst of these vocational pressures. In other words, to help her enter into worship when she's at work, Delilah has recently started to compose her own psalms. Now, these aren't fancy poems. They're in a sense just personal devotional letters written to God about her life and about her work. She folds them up and sticks them in her pocket. Delilah carries the psalms with her as she does her rotations at the hospital. And even if she doesn't read them during her shift necessarily, yet Delilah reports that her presence serves, the presence of those psalms, just knowing that they're in her pocket, serves as a reminder to her that God is present, not simply with her, but also with her patients who are suffering. The psalms help her remain strong and tender towards the nurses that she works with and that are under her charge. And that kind of intentional practice helps Delilah cope with the emotional and physical demands of her job. That's one way to bring worship into her work and to let her work give praise to God. Now, it's not just a matter of your character. It's not just your work ethic that is worship to God. It's also your motivation to work that is worship to God. Whatever you do, Paul said that. We referred to that in verse 17. But then he reiterates it back when he applies it to some specific circumstances. He applies it, this whole business of your work ethic, your life ethic, in a sense. He applies it to marriages. He applies it to family. He applies it then to slaves and to masters. And we go, oh, well, we don't need to listen to that because we're not slaves or masters. But think of it in terms of employers and employees. And this is what Paul says then. He says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and with reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Now, here's where he's introducing some of the same worship language from earlier in the passage, introducing it into work life, into daily work life. Whatever you do, he says, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward. I suspect, well, I know that I've not always had that attitude in my work. And I suspect probably you haven't either. Because oftentimes the root of our motivation at work is work hard and you'll get what you deserve. But instead, Paul says, think of it differently. Your motivation for work is worship to God. Think of it as work as unto the Lord. In other words, work is worship because working is God's world, in God's world, is like being a go-between. It's like being a mediator, like being a priest. The go-between between the name of Jesus and your workaday world. And you are the one to reveal God's rule in this world. You are the one to reveal God's kingdom in this world. You're the one who reveals Jesus at work in this world. You can be in the office. You can be on the job site. You can be in the kitchen. You can be in the classroom. You have the opportunity to let the glory of God shine in this world. That's worship. Even if nobody else sees it. Because it's not just for the sake of others. Usually we think of, you know, well, I'm a Christian, so at work I need to convert everybody. No, that's not the point. The point is to worship God at your work. Oscar Romero was a Roman Catholic bishop in Latin America, was martyred for his faith. In fact, he wrote this: how beautiful will be the day when all the baptized understand, like all the believers, understand their work, their job is a priestly work. That each metal worker, each professional, each doctor with the scalpel, the market woman at her stand is performing a priestly office. You and I, we get to reveal Jesus to the people around us. So in Kamink and Wilson's story of Deliah and Daniel, Daniel is working in construction. And Daniel's experience in construction is quite different than Deliah's. He believes that his work is, as a contractor, is honorable, but he believes that the work site indeed is a holy place where he takes part in God's mission. Fair enough. But it's a rough and crass culture out there. And on the job site, it's rough and crass. And it often directs him away from the path of Christ. So to counteract that, Daniel has taken up a new practice. Daniel has developed a morning ritual. So along with a coworker, he comes 15 minutes early to the job site, and he walks through the work site to pray. Just to pray, silently, just alone. And slowly, the daily walk has started to change the way in which Daniel inhabits the work site during the rest of the day. In other words, Daniel's embracing his new role as a spiritual intercessor for the entire construction site. He prays for his own work, but also for the project. He prays for the culture surrounding the project. He prays for the people on the construction site. Daniel's not just an employee anymore. He's a priest, an intercessor, a go-between. He offers his work. He offers the construction site as a whole, in fact, up to God's sovereign grace and glory. With both humility and courage, Daniel stands before God and asks the Holy Spirit to move powerfully through the construction site. That's worship. It's worship to God. So on this Labor Day weekend, I invite you to embrace your work, whatever that looks like. Maybe it's in the classroom. Maybe it's your daily work of being a student or a teacher. Or maybe you are on the job site in construction. Maybe you are in the office as a doctor or a business person. Or maybe you're retired, but you're busy with many other things. Think of your work as worship. Bring it into this place. And let it interact with your worship and your praise that you bring each Sunday. Bring the two together so that worship and work are an expression of who you are and to whom you belong. Because you belong to our God, the creator, the redeemer of this world. And when you nudge your attitude towards the peace of Christ that rules in your heart, then God's glory shines, not just in this place, but everywhere that New Life people are. Let's give praise to our God. Let's pray together. Almighty God, right here, right now, we offer up our work to you. God, we think about this week, the week ahead of us, the work that we will engage in. We pray, God, that the good news of the gospel may dwell richly in everything that we occupy ourselves with. May it invade every nook and cranny of our lives, God. And even in the midst of the frustrations or the headaches of work or the drudgery of work, even in the midst of the mere routine of work, God, help us to give you praise. Because the gospel really is good news. Your redemption really is at work in our lives and in this world. So we give you all the praise and all the glory. We pray, Father, that you'll equip us with the fruit of the Spirit. We pray that you'll equip us, Father, with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Help us to bear with each other, Father. Help us to forgive one another. May the Spirit of Christ dwell in us richly as we go to work. May it be to your honor, to your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring.
So I want to invite you to, if you're heading off to work or maybe a new situation, I want to invite you to come on down and we'll, I'll be standing here. Maybe I can invite Sean also to come to the front here. And maybe you just need prayer to say, hey, I want my work to be worship to God. And I need prayer for a particular situation. And invite you to pray with us. This week also, Ben and Sarah Audette had a baby, little Jackson. We want to celebrate that. But Jackson was born prematurely, just very tiny. And so we want to lift him up in prayer and pray for Ben and Sarah too and the family, that God will give them grace, strength, and blessing. Let's pray together. Almighty God, bring all of our concerns, all of our worries to you throughout our lives. God, we know that you are a great God. We've confessed that. We've sung about it. So show your greatness and your glory in our lives. Be with Ben and Sarah. Be with little Jackson. God, we pray that you will provide for him, that you will bless him, that he can grow up big and strong. Father, I pray that you will be with Ben and Sarah as they care for this little one, and with all of the doctors and nurses that provide for him at this time. Father, we look to you. Pray for your blessing. And so as we go from this place, God, give us the assurance that you are able to keep us from stumbling and to present us before your glorious presence without fault, with great joy. And to the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Go into your week giving praise to our God.